You ever do something as a child that you regret it? That even into adulthood, you still regret. When I was small, we had a gentleman who lived next to us. His name was Bob Poffrey. And he was an elderly gentleman. And he talked funny. And you could hardly understand what he said. I mean, you had to really, really listen, and then probably 50% of the time, you still couldn't understand what he said. And when I was growing up, I had several guys roughly my age that grew up in our neighborhood. I had my one buddy who lived across the street, and then there was a guy directly across the street who was probably a year older, and a couple of guys, you know, a little bit older than that, a couple of guys younger. And when we were smaller, we all hung out together. And the guys on our block used to like making fun of Bob Poffrey because he couldn't talk. So, you know, everybody would kind of make fun of the way he talked. Not in front of him, but like real men, they'd wait until he wasn't around. And then they'd make fun of him. And I used to do that too. When I was little, I used to make fun of Bob Poffrey. And until one day, and I can't remember who it was that told me. But they said, you know what, you keep making fun of Bob Poffrey, when you get older, you're not going to be able to talk right either. And that scared me to death. It scared me as a little kid to think that when I got older, I was going to talk just like him. And from that day on, I never made fun of Bob Poffrey. I mean, some of my buddies, they made fun of Bob Poffrey, but from that day on, I never once again made fun of the way he talked. Because it scared me. Well, the principle they had shared with me is the principle of sowing and reaping. And that principle is clearly stated in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Let me read it to you. It says this: Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. If you go out, and it's funny how it works, because it works every single time. Do you know that if you go out and you plant corn, every single time you're going to get corn? Isn't it weird how that works? You go out and plant corn, and it's not like 95% of the time, 98% of the time. If something grows, you're going to get corn. If you plant green beans, 100% of the time you're going to get green beans. I remember years ago, we don't have a garden, but years ago we used to have a garden, and we used to grow green peppers, and I just love green peppers. You know, not necessarily the long ones, the round ones, bell peppers. I don't know what they are, I just like them. In fact, when I was growing up, we always called them mangoes, but they're not really a mango. They're bell pepper. But we used to grow them, and everyone I talked to, they couldn't grow green peppers. You know, you put the plant in the ground, and everyone I talked to back then, it was back in the late 80s, early 90s, nobody could grow green peppers that I knew. But we were able to grow green peppers. And I loved them, so we'd plant a lot of green peppers. Let me give you a recipe. If you take chicken, what did we used to, it wasn't chicken we used to put it. It was veal. But now it's too expensive, so we don't use veal anymore. But take chicken, and you take bell peppers, and you take onions. And you bread the chicken, and you cook the onions and the bell peppers and the chicken and just a little bit of oil. Boy, it's awesome. You take the onions and the peppers, and you just, I mean, pile it mile high on the breaded chicken. And I love it. But we always used to make those green. That's no extra charge. We always used to grow those peppers. But, you know, isn't it interesting about farming that everything you sow, you're always going to get that back? And I'm a city boy, and I know that. Well, you know what is also interesting? It is a very true fact of life that whatever you sow in your life, it will return on you. Unless somehow the grace of God steps in. A man reaps what he sows. Whatever you put out, you're going to get it back. Now, as I said, that's clearly stated in Galatians 6, 7, but it's not just there. It's stated in a whole bunch of other places. And we see the example all throughout the Bible. In fact, we've seen that example true right here in the book of Ezekiel. But I think it's even clearer in the passage we're going to look at tonight. And we're going to look real quick, so I can only bring out the truths. We're not going to look at every single verse, but we will look at the truths that are found in every verse. So number one, come to grips with the principle of sowing and reaping. Come to grips with the principle of sowing and reaping. This truth is illustrated in Ezekiel 35 in the nation of Edom. Now, I want you to notice in verse 1 of chapter 35, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, set your face against Mount Seir." Mount Seir was a mountain range south of the Dead Sea. And it was the physical place of the nation of Edom. So we are talking about the nation of Edom, but yet we're talking about much more. Because the nation of Edom here stands for all the Gentile nations. So what we see in Edom really stands for every single Gentile nation. In fact, we'll see it even more in chapter 36. But I want you to see this principle of sowing and reaping. We really need to come to grips to it because we need to realize the validity of it. And as I've stated before, sometimes we say of ourselves, even though we've seen everybody else seen this reality in our lives, you know what we say? Oh, it's not going to happen to me. I know it happened to everybody else who did this, but it's not going to happen to me. And why do you know if you think that, you're a fool? Because unless the grace of God steps in, the principle is always a reality. Now, if you look at your own life and say, wait a minute, didn't happen to me, well, that's the grace of God. Notice chapter 35, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, set your face against Mount Seir, prophesy against it, and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I am against you. Could you imagine? Here's the word of God that comes to you as a nation, and God says through the prophet, comes to you and says, I'm against you. God is saying to you, I am against you. I would certainly never want God to come and say that to me. Verse 4, I will turn your towns into ruins, and you will be desolate. And again, notice this phrase, we've seen it so often. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So once again, those who are disobedient to God, those who want nothing to do to God, they will ultimately know that God is God, but it is only after God's judgment falls. So God says to this nation that I am going to destroy you. Then you will know that I am God. Now, in chapter 35, you're going to see this combination of words. Because, therefore. Because, therefore. Because you did this, therefore, I am going to do that. Verse 5. Because you harbored an ancient hostility and delivered the Israelites over to the sword at the time of their calamity, the time their punishment reached its climax. Therefore. Let me put this in my own words. And maybe it'll be easier for us to understand what's about to happen here. Because you have been so rotten to the Israelites, my judgment is going to come upon you. Or because you have been so rotten to the Israelites, I'm going to be rotten to you. God is saying, because you did this, therefore I'm going to do that. And in this case, what's going on here is that the Edomites were rotten to the Israelites. Notice he says, because you did this when the trouble coming on Israel was at its climax. In other words, when it could not be any worse for the Israelites, that's when you piled it on. That's when you really stuck it to them. Because you were so rotten to them when it could not be any worse for them, therefore you're going to get the same thing back. Notice verse 6. Therefore, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I will give you over to bloodshed, and it will pursue you. Since you did not hate bloodshed, bloodshed will pursue you. Because you shed the blood of the Israelites, therefore I am going to shed your blood. Because you treated my children, the Israelites, this way, I'm going to do the very same thing to you. Because you sowed this, you're going to reap the very same thing. In fact, it's stated again, notice down in verse 10. Because you have said two nations, these two nations and countries will be ours, and we will take possession of them, even though I, the Lord, was there. Therefore. Now, two nations they're talking about, the Edomites are talking about in verse 10, are the two nations of Israel. Remember, I've been telling you all the way through Ezekiel that the nation of Israel was divided up into two nations. There was a northern nation, the southern nation. Northern nation was called Israel. It had 10 tribes. The southern nation was called Judah. It had 2 tribes. So what the Edomites are saying is, these two nations are going to be ours. Even though God is speaking, even though I was there. The Edomites are saying, we are going to have the nation of Israel. We are going to have the nation of Judah, even though God was in the nation of Israel. Even though God was in the nation of Judah, it will be ours. Basically saying, we're going to take possession of the land of Israel, even though it's God's. Even though God had given it to the Israelites. Verse 11, therefore, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I will treat you in accordance with the anger and jealousy you showed, and in your hatred of them, I will make myself known among them when I judge you. Because you hated them, you're not going to receive my hatred. And I want you to notice there's a second because down in verse 15. Because you rejoiced when the inheritance of the house of Israel became desolate, this is how I will treat you. You will be desolate, O Mount Seir, you and all of Edom. Then you will know that I am the Lord. The very same thing you did to Israel is the very same thing I'm going to do to you. Now you might say, well, wait a minute. God tells us not to do that. God tells us not to treat people the way they treated us. How can God do that? Remember, when God's judgment falls, it's not just kind of God getting back at someone. It's because of God's holiness and God's righteousness, he must deal with sin. So when we go out and sow things, God's principle stated all throughout Scripture is, look, when you sow something, you're going to reap it. So the very same thing they were doing to the Israelites, they're not going to reap themselves. In fact, it's carried over into chapter 36. And now we see it in an even more general way by the Gentile nations. Chapter 36, verse 1. Son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel, and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. The enemy said of you, aha! The ancient heights have become our possession. The enemies of Israel said, look, hey, you're now ours. We now have control of you. You're now ours. Skip down with me to verse 8. Therefore. If you're here with us last Sunday night, we saw a couple of nations around Israel that were kind of watching Israel fall, being taken into Babylon, and the word used in Ezekiel is, they said of you, aha. In other words, they laughed at the fall of Israel. They laughed at what the Gentile nations were doing to the nation of Israel. And this is exactly what we see again here in chapter 36. So notice verse 6. Therefore prophesy concerning the land of Israel and say to the mountains and hills, to the ravines and valleys, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I speak in my jealous wrath because you have suffered the scorn of the nations. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I swear with uplifted hand that the nations around you will also suffer scorn. Because they scorned you, they will now suffer scorn. What you sow, you will reap. If you look at the wording in chapter 35, in the beginning of chapter 36, these first seven verses, you'll notice that the thing that was sowed, the exact words that are used almost to the letter, is the very same thing that God says, I'm going to do to you. What you sow, you will reap. Now, there are a lot of people in this world that say, you know what, I can do whatever I want and nothing's going to happen. Come to grips with that truth. Wherever it is in your life, could be in your family, could be your relationship with your friends, could be at work, anywhere in your life, could be in church. Those things that you sow, you are also going to reap, except unless somehow God's grace reaches in, says, you know what, you deserve to reap what you've sown, but in this case, not because you deserve it, my grace is going to step in and it's going to allow you to escape that judgment. So what that tells us is that we need to be very careful how we live our life and what we do to others and how we treat other people. In this case, it's nation against nation, but the same truth relates to us individually. Now, I know when we come to the book of Ezekiel, some people are going to say, you know what, that's that Old Testament prophecy stuff, and I just don't get into that. Some are going to say, you know what, I get lost when we come to prophecy, and you know, I just get so confused by it. But I want to pre-say something as we get ready to look at the next several chapters. And I don't know, where'd my watch go? I don't know if we're going to get all the way through it just like we didn't this morning. In fact, we're not. But let me say this. There's something that we're about to look at. Unfortunately, because of time, not tonight, because we spent more time singing hymns, that you might look at and say, does that really matter to me? And it's a prophetic issue. And it does, and you'll learn the reason why. But it's important to understand before we get to the truth that we know there's something's coming that's very important to your life. And in fact, it will change your whole outlook at what's going to happen tomorrow. But you're not going to learn it today, so it's going to change your outlook on what happens next Monday. So let me say this. I want to encourage you to read chapter 36, 37, 38, and 39. And as you read it, you may get lost in some of it. But if you understand the truth, it will affect what you think about what's going to happen in the days to come. And if you get it right, there's great solace. And if you get it wrong, you're going to hope that you're not around for the days to come. I'll go that far. And it's two more points we're going to look at next Sunday night. Principle of sowing and reaping. You know, it is interesting. You ever hear, have you ever heard a parent say to their child, I hope you get someone just like you. Obviously, some of you have. And I hope as a parent, you never say that to your kids. Don't say that to your kids. That's a terrible thing to say to your kids. But I know what you're saying. You're saying, you're such a handful for me. I hope one day you'll learn how much of a handful you are. But you know what? There are just some laws of truth and nature that are just realities whether you know the Word of God or not. And one of them is the very same thing that parents are saying by that, and that is that what you sow, you will reap. Let me say this tonight. There's nothing you can do about yesterday. You can't make yesterday better, and you can't make yesterday worse. There's simply nothing you can do about yesterday. And there may be some things that you've done as a child that you wish you never had. In fact, there may be some things that you did yesterday that you wish you hadn't done. There may even be something you did today that you wish you hadn't done. But we can't go back. We can only go forward. And though the principle of sowing and reaping is true, we can't go back and fix what's already done. But we can learn today to do the right thing. If you have sowed something in the past, there's every reality in the world you're going to reap that, unless somehow God steps in and by His grace says, not in this case. And you could ask God for to do that. He may or may not. But you certainly can leave what's behind and begin today to sow a new future, sow a different lifestyle, sow a different way of living. I tried to do that and encourage people this morning to sow a different attitude and way of living life by making praising God just the way of living. And we can all do that. I was asked I was asked a number of years ago whether we can be different than what our personality really is. And you know what? We can be what God wants us to be. I'm really kind of thinking lately and thinking a lot about, and you probably heard it this morning, that there's just something wrong with our Christianity. That we're just really not much different than this world. You know, in our churches, in our lives, that we're just not much different than this world. And there's something wrong with that. Because God calls us to be different. So we can't be different yesterday, but we can be different today and tomorrow. So realize in your life, set everybody else aside. I only want you to think about you. Your future is determined by what you sow. What kind of future are you going to sow for yourself? What kind of life is it that you're going to make? Don't blame everybody else for your life. It's what you make out of it. And you can either make a life that brings God glory by sowing righteousness, or you can make a life that displeases God by sowing anything other than righteousness. So what kind of life are you going to sow today and tomorrow that's going to make your life different 1 year from today? Stand for a word of prayer. Father, help us to be what you've called us to be. Help us, Father, to live up to our calling. I pray, Lord, that we might sow righteousness. Help us, Father, to come to grips with the principle Help us, Father, to know what's true. And may we sow that which is pleasing in your sight. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.